This is the New Life tape album, the New Life pack, and this is Jonathan Kahn, and this is the ninth teaching we've gotten to, and it's called Dragon Slaying. Now, coming up will be, on the other side, will be Heaven's Secret Agent, Your Mission from God, Finding God's Will for Your Life. And then after that, the last concluding ones, the Happiness Secrets, Secrets of Abundant Life, and everything else. Okay, Dragon Slaying. Now, this one's going to be quick, or rather, I'm going to go quick. There's so much here, and I've already been going quick, but this is even going to be quicker to get this in. So I suggest you take notes so you can have things on each subject, some little key tips on each one, and you can refer to the tape again and again for the details for each one, but just to have a number of things, okay? So let's get going. Okay, there are legends about dragons and I think St. George fighting the dragon and all that. These are just legends. But the spiritual principle is this. Whenever you do something good, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be spiritual opposition. There's going to be a fight. Whenever you do something good and worthwhile and you make a difference for good and for God, you're going to have a fight. That's why the Bible speaks about fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight and run the race that's set before you with endurance. Okay? So there will be these things, I will call them dragons, and you have to learn how to slay them. They're going to come up against you, and you have to learn how to fight them successfully. And so we're going to go right through them. First dragon is discouragement. Now, it's easy in life when you're on a good course to get discouraged. It's a good fight, but it's easy to get discouraged because, you know, things will come against you. But if you're doing good, discouragement from good is all the more not good. You know, so you can get discouraged when you just, you feel, you know, you had some failures or things are coming against you and you just, you know, just whatever it is. You know, God, it says, is the God of all encouragement and comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1, the first chapter, you'll read how Paul, you know, they can get discouraged sometimes, you know, but God is the God of all encouragement. He does not discourage you from doing good. And if you're doing good, be strong in it. And it says, be strong and be of good courage. So first, God wants you to succeed and be victorious. So at times of discouragement, you have to just take time with the Lord, be refreshed, forget all the problems and issues and all the other things, forget all the burdens, just get back to God and be refreshed. In the Psalms, that's one key thing right there. In the Psalms, David sometimes could get discouraged, and he encourages his own soul. He says, soul, why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? Why are you down? You know, hope again in God. He reminded himself of all the joys and blessings of God. So learn how to encourage your soul, encourage yourself with God, and particularly with the Word of God. Remind yourself of the blessings that God has done in your life. It's good to keep a diary, a log, to encourage yourself continuously in all the good, how far God has taken you. So it's a good application to have a diary, meaning just of all of blessings, answered prayers, things God has done, where he's taken you, just with all the great things to encourage yourself daily, you know, as a precaution, okay, and as a great thing. Remind yourself of all the blessings when you're down. Get together with God. Remind yourself God does love you. Remember, I'll call this the Passover principle, and that is that every year the Hebrews were to celebrate Passover to remember that they came out of Egypt, remember where they came from, so they would never take for granted where they are. They'd be encouraged. So every day of your life, remind yourself how blessed you are. You know, thank God. Here's a very important principle, habit. Don't let a day go by without giving thanks to God for being saved, for salvation, and that you're not where you were. You know, remind yourself how far you've come, but give thanks for that. And another application, cling to a scripture. Find a scripture. And here is an application that I want you to do. I want you, to take to stop the tape. Find a scripture that is a scripture of encouragement and write it down, save it, put it down. You can put down a number of them for, you know, when you're discouraged, you can look at this little section of notes, but write down one scripture or more. Like, for instance, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Or another one, greater is he who's in me than he who's in this world. Or have another one, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will overcome. He's called us to victory. It says, give thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph. They're all in the Bible. Most of them are in the epistles, in the letters. You'll find encouragement there. Go through the epistles, get encouragement, write it down. Let's go on. And also give thanks for the many blessings in your life. I'm going to talk about that in other ways too. But give thanks for the blessings in your life before you, that'll help keep you always encouraged. Okay, now let's move on to next dragon, doubt. The dragon of doubt. We're human. So sometimes we doubt. You know, So how do you attack that? How do you attack? Remind yourself of what, again, very similar, of what God has done for your life. You say, well, you know, where are you, God? Well, look at all the things he's done for your life, the answered prayers in your life. That is not just encouragement. That's also faith building. Okay, so it's real important, again, that log the good. Make that an absolute thing. Just to have it somewhere. And when you can, you know, write down when something great happens, write down that what God has done for you. Okay, real important. Look at the alternative life, or Elijah said, there was a contest in the Old Testament, not a contest, but, you know, a kind of a showdown. They were worshiping this false god, Baal, and Elijah says, hey, listen, if Baal is God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him. So look at the alternative, a life without God. I mean, when you're doubting, remember that you're believing the doubt. You're putting faith in this little stupid voice that's saying, oh, can you trust God? Is he really there? Why should you trust that voice? Learn how to doubt. Say, well, why do I have to listen to you? That's just, I can't even trust myself. Your feelings come and go. Remember, things are feelings go and you can't judge things by feelings. So why should you trust a feeling? Trust the word of God. It's the rock, life without God. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a lot of that's doubtful to begin with. Without him, it's just not there. Look at the alternative and thank God you've got God in your life. Take in the word, take a word. And get it in your heart. Remember, if you never to get away from the word. Those the four foundations. The three that are every day. The word, time in the word, and time with God. You go without the word, and you can lose faith. You need to strengthen yourself daily in the word that builds faith. The word and doing the word also. Okay, but that's part of the foundations at the beginning. Keep that up, no matter what. Okay, let's go to the next dragon. Temptation. Don't see it as, this is my thing. It's a war against your soul. It's my indulgence, treat the sin. No, it's a war against your soul. It's a war against the new self. And have nothing to do with it. Treat it as if you would poison or a dragon or an army that was trying to destroy you. That guard yourself. Okay, it says in Scripture, and you should find this. This is in the epistles too. It says, whenever we're tempted, there's always a way out. God always makes a way out. You can use that too as a scripture for temptation. There's always a way out. So when you're being tempted, pray, right? Immediately talk to God. I mean, that's immediately. And look for the way out. What it could be, just running out the door. It could be just whatever it is, turning off the television. I mean, whatever the thing is, it could be just whatever, saying something and ending. Pray. There's always a way out. Say, Lord, show me the way out now. I'm being tempted. Show me the way out. You could be doing something else immediately, another activity. Also, think of the pain. Think of the end. Think of the long term of indulging in that sin. Think of all the pain, for a little bit of thrills. Think of all the pain it will cause down that road. And really, take in that pain so you don't do it. Save yourself, And also, just say no. That's true too. No in the power of God. Say, God, I need strength. I'm weak, but I need your strength. And in you, I'm going to say no, do it. And then there's this secret thing called your neck. God has given you a neck. It's this anti-sin device. Use it. Turn your head. Turn away from the thing. Turn away from looking. When something is the smallest thing, I've shared this before, when it's a seed, that's when you best to battle sin. Don't let it grow into this whole thing. The more you grow, the more that you give attention to it, the harder it is. So at the beginning, take the offense against sin. Take the simplest action. Whatever you need to do, a simple thing, get out of there. Turn your head, okay? Deal with sin. As I said, let me just recount that. It's hard to move a tree, but it's easy to move a seed. So attack sin at the very beginning. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to even think about the thought of it. That's the best way. And it doesn't matter where you're at, no matter what, God has the power to overcome sin in your life. But best to do it, be on the offense. Stay away from even the thought of it, And when you think about it, bring it to God. If you fall, whatever, we'll get into that. Hate sin. Hate the sin. This thing that wants to destroy your life, this adultery, this temptation, or whatever, this coldness, just renounce it. The power of hating sin, not the person, not a sinner, not a person who's tempting you, but the sin itself. Again, get away from it. Remember the Joseph principle. I believe totally that Joseph was tempted and he just ran away, just fled. Flee sin, just immediately. Fill it with something else. Remember the Doritos principle, another thing, a substitute. Immediately do something else that you're going to rejoice in, okay? And you know, again, pray, be in touch with God. It's hard to sin when you're in touch with him. Know that he's there in the room and know the day of judgment. You know, think about that. And you're guaranteed the victory when you go in God's way. You're guaranteed the victory when you go, when you look for the way out. Okay, also with these situations of temptation, get scriptures already ready that you can use and you can say when you're in the situation and dwell on. Again, I've already said that one, when you're in a situation, whatever the temptation, God provides a way out, or we are more than conquerors, you know, no matter what the thing is, you know, we are to go for triumph. And there's a lot. You find them and use them. Get on the offensive beforehand. And this is real important. Be on the offensive. Don't be on the defensive. Don't let yourself be pushed up against the wall. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you're in the situation. Get out of the situation. Or don't even allow yourself, better than that, to be in a situation or near a situation. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's true. Don't wait for sin to devastate things and try to pick up the pieces. Invest your energy into avoiding it, okay? Don't get lax. Just thank God you don't have to experience. A best defense is a good offense. It's true. In Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it says to avoid the person who would seduce you, but even avoid the door of the person, meaning don't even just the person, but take extra precaution. Don't even go near the situation that could lead to that. Okay? Don't allow for the opportunity. There's a principle here, it's very important, called hedges. And it means you have to build hedges around things to protect. You know, if you protect things and you have things that are worthwhile and valuable, you build a hedge around it and you protect it. So your marriage, you need to have hedges, guidelines, kind of things you observe. You say, for instance, like, hey, I will not be with a member of the opposite sex alone in a restaurant or whatever the thing is. Or, hey, if we've got a problem with each, you know, dealing with something, we'll never let it go. We'll always deal with it this way. Build hedges to protect your marriage. Build hedges to protect your singleness, your purity, your youth, dealing with your sexuality. You know, for instance, you know, in the ministry, we have to have big hedges. You know, we cannot be alone with a member of the opposite sex with a door closed. You know, whatever the thing is, whatever you need and whatever is right, you do it. Avoiding, you know, if you're, you know, drugs or alcohol, hedge around that you don't even go near these people, or I'll stay away from even this area of a bar. Also, you know, anything that is questionable, avoid it. And take preemptive strikes, okay? Know beforehand when you're most susceptible. When you're weak, you know, for instance, when you're weak and when you're tired, you might be more susceptible to certain sins. So prepare for it beforehand. So you'll have ways already there. You'll avoid that situation, or you'll have things already set out. Or when you're discouraged, you might be more susceptible to certain sins. So take preemptive strikes and know already, here I'm weak in a situation, so here's what I'm going to do to make sure, okay? Also, another thing, be accountable with each other. Confess your sins to God and to one another. I mean, don't tell the wrong people, but people, have somebody you can confide in, you can be accountable with, a prayer partner, someone, you know, that you can say and you can be accountable to each other. It really helps. Bring it to the light. Rejoice in the good. Be absorbed in the good, in doing good and all these things I've talked about, and your energy will be for good. You won't have it for the other stuff. Take the good, you know, be offensive in taking ground and growing in God, and you won't be worrying about going back. Remember, I shared something, it was a little sort of parable, not from the Bible, but where someone has two dogs and one is sin and one is holiness, or one is love and one is hate. And the one who has it says, whichever I feed the most is the one is going to prevail. So feed righteousness, starve sin, you know, and the more you feed with what is good, the more it'll grow. The more you starve the thoughts of, you know, you just, you know, don't, it'll start dying down. Okay. If you have fallen, what do you do? And this is another dragon, but you fall into the sin and you're just discouraged. Here's a commercial. I've fallen. I can't get up. Well, one of the greatest, discouragements is, say, you know, you've gotten past a certain sin and then all of a sudden it comes up and you mess up in it. You fall in it. Well, don't get discouraged in it. You know, I told you already about things that crop up. That's just inertia. That's the old life. And that's just doing a thing, but that's not you. And so it can discourage you, especially if you're free for a while in something and then, you know, gets phased out and then you fall down and you say, oh, I'm not, it's the old self. No, get up and move on. You know, first of all, it's all a trip up. And remember, every race for the long run is going to have some moments of setback or some slip ups. Every major war has some setbacks. Every, you know, winning wars requires you lose some battles and you go on to win the war. You know, the children of God had some tough thing. Abraham messed up, you know, had relations with his wife's handmaid. Moses murdered somebody. David committed adultery. But their lie, and these were horrible things, but their lives were not characterized by their slip up. They didn't stay in it. They didn't practice in it. They didn't dwell in it. They didn't stay in the mud. They didn't remain in it. They got up. So there's no excuse for, sin is sin, and we're to be holy, and anything we could get out of practicing it, get out. But even holy people have moments of slipping up. And if we say we're without sin, the Bible says in the First John, at the beginning of First John, it says if we say we're without sin, we're lying. But if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. So it's not about you, it's about God's grace. And so you're going to have to get up. And in the Lord, it's for the long run. It's not a dash, it's the long run. Paul said, in Philippians, I keep pressing on. I press on. Paul called himself the greatest of sinners, And Peter, he messed up all the time. Many times he fell down and he could have just wallowed in it. He could have just stayed there. I mean, David committed murder. Imagine if you committed murder. Would you have the faith to believe in God's love for you to be able to get up and go on? Well, listen, it says if we confess, he's faithful and just. So therefore, you can also take it another way, in a positive way. Often when we fall, it's a symptom telling us, hey, we've been lax in a certain area. So take it as a positive thing. I mean, after, get cleansed, repent of it, but take it as a thing. Say, hey, thank you. That kind of scared me. I got to get things right. I was lax in that area. So it's often the symptom of it. And often the greatest change come in your life when that happens. And you say, wow, and you really make some great changes. Some people say, how could I? How could I ever do this? How could I? Well, listen, it shows your eyes are on yourself. Your eyes are supposed to be on his love, not on yourself. So depend on him. It says in the book of Corinthians, it speaks about godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. It says there's a worldly sorrow that has regret in it. Oh, well, I did it. And you just dwell on the fact that you did it and that you can never get past it. That's regret. It says it's not of God. It leads to death, at least to a spiritual death. But godly sorrow, there's a sorrow over your sin, but it leads to repentance and to life. Say, all right, but now God's grace and I'm going to go. Resolve. Now, here's an application. Resolve, okay? Take a moment to pray with God. And it'll take a second. Resolve that no matter what happens, you're going to keep going. No matter if you fall, you're going to get up. You're on the winning side and there's a winning outcome guaranteed, but you're only going to know that outcome if you keep on. You don't give up before. This walk is not about never making a mistake. It's and never even making a big one. It's about getting up. It's not about never messing up. It's about getting up once you do. It's about the power to rise. Remember, resurrection. That's rising. Peter, messed up and he got up. Judas messed up and he never got up. And it could have been the opposite. Could have been reversed. But one said, hey, no, I'm coming back. The scripture says his mercies are new every morning. It is not primarily about how we are. It's about God's love. Sometimes, you feel, how can I come to God? I messed up. How can I do it? Well, it's like, again, I've shared this before. It's like saying, how can I take a shower? I'm not clean enough. That's when you have to come. When you don't feel you can come, all the more the Lord says, come, my arms are open. His arms are open. Your faith is to believe it when you feel you don't deserve it. That's where it's really at. You're right. And so resolve no matter what, no matter what. Okay. Now, you're the winner, but if you can be convinced that you're the loser, you won't use your power. There's a stubborn, holy stubborn, I'm not giving up, I don't care, and all the more. You get me down, I'm going to get up all the more. I'm just going to keep going. I'll give you a question. Two people are running a race. One slips and falls only once. The other slips and falls 30 times. Which do you think won the race? Well, the one who won was the one who fell 30 times, because the one who fell once never got up. They wanted to run a perfect race. When they saw they weren't perfect, they got discouraged and said it was over. But the other one kept getting up. So you see what happens if you keep falling down in that sin? Don't worry. You just keep going ahead. And you know what will happen? You'll eventually cross the finish line. Don't dwell and get all wrapped up in the sin or beating yourself over the head with it. Just repent of it and run the race. If you fall, you get up. You fall again, you get up again. And soon you'll be at the finish line. Get on the offensive. If you mess up, don't say, oh no, what if it happens again? What if it happens again? Just start getting on the offensive. Get the momentum going and do something good. Do one of those applications. Grow in some new area. Do some good deed and get the thing moving in the right direction. Okay, next dragon. Distractions from God and busyness happen so easily, especially in our culture. It's just everything's in a rush, including this tape. But you can't. You, you know, you know, we need to focus on what is most important, not the most urgent always. So in God, that's why you need the daily quiet time. That'll be your good prevention there. God often doesn't shout. He whispers. And all other things are going to demand your attention. But God, you know, it's not like, oh, God, you have to make that time, stick to it. And then what happens is when you get into all the busyness, you get it starts weighing you down. There are worries, problems, financial things, wants and pursuits and relationships and all sorts of things. And you lose the joy of it. Remember the parable of the sower, the ones that got choked out, the seed that got choked out because of the worries of the world and the lusts of the world and getting all involved. You can get yourself overbooked in school or on your job or in too many things. And you got to just stop, you know. And if you give into this stuff, you'll let God not be first anymore. And you'll end up living a driven life instead of a led life. Okay, so you got to say, you know, read Matthew 5-7. Again, these are the Sermon on the Mount, and there's so many things in there. But one of the things in there, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But you start worrying, and then it says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink and all that. Listen, trust God with it. You know, not that you'd be responsible, but trust God. Seek first things first, and let the secondary things be second. You got to have that special time with God. It can even happen in serving God sometimes. Martha was the one who, in the story, in the Gospel of John, she's running around doing all sorts of things. She thinks she's serving God, but and Mary, her sister, is just sitting at Jesus' feet, and she gets all upset about Mary, you know, because Mary's not working, and Jesus says, hey, Mary's chosen the better thing. Why don't you just relax and sit down? This is the only thing I need you to do. Many things will pull at you, but if you get wrapped up in it, you'll dry up. So don't let fear do it. Don't let things push you. Don't let all these problems do it. Don't panic. Always take that quiet time. Don't be led by fear. Be led by peace. Guard your quiet time. And there's always have the Sabbath principle. If you don't have it, things just keep adding up and the momentum just increases. But that quiet time every day and a Sabbath in the week is going to cut that momentum and always refresh you. Get back to it. And sometimes you have to just simplify your life and say, I don't need the more money. I don't need this worry. I don't need that. Let me just get with God. Okay. Another one. And this is related to it. Falling from your first love. You know, it's like in a marriage. You can just, you know, unresolved differences and lack of intimate time, you fall into a rut. So with God, it can happen. You lack of intimate time with God, you know, you can lose that first love. You got to get back to your first love continuously. Complacency. You just stop seeking God. You know, you just get too complacent. You know, or you get lost in religion, in the realm of about God. I'm singing about him. I'm doing about him. I'm talking about him. I'm having this activity. It's all about him, but it's not him anymore. Get back into it. Break out of the rut. I've spoke about this. Just like in a marriage, break out of the rut, do new things with God, do something new, and go back to that quiet time until it happens. We can get idols in our lives, things that we just start getting attached to, a car, a project, a job, a pursuit, anything you put above God, and you have to cleanse yourself from it because it's the Dorito principle the other way. The junk food is going to make you dry up. Put it away. You always have to get cleansed. Put it away. And get alone with God again. Continually get into the habit of continually lightening up with God. You know, at the end of the day, just give him everything, even during the day, and tread lightly in this world. The worries, the material things, keep your heart light. You know, things feel good for a moment and possessions, but then they dry you up and you get weighed down. But God, you let it go, you know, say, no, I don't own anything. The only thing I own in this world is you, God. That's the only thing I have, you know, that I own forever. And so therefore, put that first, and what happens is your heart will be flowing and flowing and flowing. Guard your relationship with God as your greatest treasure, your quiet time again. And you're reading the godly habits I told you from the beginning. This is what you have to keep to the end, and you'll be blessed. Make a covenant with him that you're not going to let anything come in between. I spoke about a marriage thing before. Well, do that. And so, you know, in the natural, if you have a marriage, you have a honeymoon and you have emotions flying high, but a honeymoon doesn't make a great marriage. Feelings don't make a great walk with God. The thing is, you need commitment. You need to work at it continually, establish the godly habits, guard that treasure, your time with him, and that secret space, just like a man and woman in their house. Okay? So your first love, always come back to it. Okay? And guard those also godly habits too. Here's another dragon, falling out of fellowship, getting separated from the fellowship. You know what happens within a flock? If a wolf can get the flock, a lamb or sheep away from the rest of the flock, that's the ones they go after. I mean, that's true with predatory things. So don't let yourself get out of fellowship. Someone's described it as like kind of coals burning, you know, and the coals warm each other up on a barbecue thing. But if you take one out, it grows cold. So it's important to stay in fellowship, stay in your congregation, stay in thing. It's like a buddy system in the water that you're always looking out for. People are looking out for you. It just, there's something about it. So sometimes the tendency is to withdraw. Don't withdraw. Get connected with others. Don't wait for other people to come up to you. I don't care if nobody comes up to you. You make friends with people and you stay there. It's often a tendency, you know, if you feel you messed up, you slipped up, you're a hypocrite, you can't be there. No, listen, we all, there's no perfect person, you know, in his body. So get in, stay in. And again, you know, there's statistics, you know, with studies that people who are active in the congregations, I mean, all sorts of health things, benefits, all sorts of other benefits from their marriage to everything else. Application, find some close people in your congregation you can be close with and to be partners with, and you could be accountable to them, and you can pray with each other, bring your problems to them, find it, get connected. They, you know, all right? And don't get into the thing, well, oh, they're not perfect, they hurt me. Forget that. You know, get beyond that stuff, okay? No matter what, keep going, all right? Stay faithful there. All right, another dragon, sorrow or disaster or a tragedy or things that didn't go as they planned. You know, sometimes things just happen. You know, when you say, why, Lord, how could this happen in my life? Well, listen, this earth is not heaven, and that's the whole point in the Bible. This place is not where it's at. We know that from the beginning, okay? If that's all you had, that's one thing, but now you've got God. That's the whole point. This is not the place. This world is not going to function perfectly. It's not going to be just. The just is in God. You know, the goodness is in God and how you respond to it. You're going to be tested here. You know, it's like a crochet thing, or, you know, on one side, you look at someone's doing this needlepoint thing. On one side, it's all loose ends. On the other side, it's a beautiful picture. That this life, you see the loose ends. When we see it from heaven, we looked back at all things. It's all going to be a beautiful picture as you do it. So we're not going to see it all now work out. It's not going to be that way. We never promise. God never promises rosy everything. He promises a good life, not a rosy life. Not you're always going to be laughing, but we're here to learn of love and righteousness and goodness. You know, give thanks anyway, even when things, you know, realize that this life is eternity's childhood. Sometimes they're vaccinations. You're learning for eternity. And often when you look back, you'll see that everything in your life, God says, I will work all things for good. Not that all things are going to be good or sound good, but in the end, they'll be good. I'll work all things for good. And you often only learn that years later, that everything in your life is either a blessing or a blessing in disguise. And so often the greatest good in your life comes out of the worst moments, the most spiritual things. You know, it reminds us we're not home, you know, and in everything, you look at the book of Acts, there are a lot of opposition. Paul had a lot of things going against him. He always took problems and turned them for good in God. Always kept hoping. Always said, well, how am I going to use this? All right, you're going to put me in chains? Well, I'm going to stay in prison. I'm going to write the epistles. And he reached more people by being in prison than being outside. So we have the power to turn all situations into good, the lemonade principle. You know, got sour lemons, you turn it into lemonade. All things, you know, we are to make good out of all these things. So, and listen, compared to judgment and hell, all life is a vacation. So be thankful for all things. Okay, when it gets tough, just draw near to God. That's what a child does. Draw near and just dig your heels in, and all the more resolved by his power, you're going to win, and you are. Remember that hard times, how do you learn patience without hard times? How do you learn unconditional love without long-suffering? You know, so take it as a course, a privilege. What about when people hurt you? You can stumble. Remember, dealing with people, don't react, be above it. Love them, love them, love them. God loves you. What about in the body? Believers, they're supposed to be saints. No, they're people. Yes, they're saints, but they've got problems. It doesn't matter what happens, keep loving. Don't say, people say, oh, they, I expected you to act like a Christian, or my pastor didn't. Listen, they're all people. You are here to love them too. And it doesn't matter what people do. If they fall tomorrow and they denounce Jesus, everybody in the world does, you are following him. Okay. Don't look for the perfect congregation. It doesn't exist. And when you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. It just doesn't exist. Okay. You're here only to bless each other, lift up people, and don't expect, but lift up. Now, there's another person that can get your eyes off the Lord, and that's yourself. Don't get wrapped up in looking at yourself, how good you're doing, how bad you're doing. That's a mistake. Look at God, and yourself will take care of itself, okay? And your life will follow, okay? Your walk is not about your walk. It's about him. All right, what about opposition and persecution? You say, how come all these people are against me, or how come I have to deal with this before? Well, listen, take it as a joy. If you do anything worthwhile, you're going to get opposition. Even if you don't, you're going to get something. But you know what? You might as well be for God. It's an honor, and so stand up for God. Stand up for love. You're going to win either way. It says, leap for joy when you're counted worthy to be with him in this. Be a wise fighter. Know how to defend your faith. There are good books, Mere Christianity and More Than a Carpenter, as I mentioned in other times. And in the world, you know, without God, you'd struggle anyway, but it wouldn't be a good struggle. But now in God, you fight the good fight. So fight wisely in his strength, not yours. I mean, with all your heart, but it's from him. And he, the battle is the Lord's ultimately, and always be in prayer. Be on the offensive and always grow in love. Take ground for in the good fight of love. And now, application. All right. You've heard the dragons. Which are most important to you? What do you think you're most going to have to deal with or have to deal with now or will have to deal with? Write it down. And then write down the steps you need to take to be on the offensive, not on the defensive, not just to fight it back, but to even take ground and be extra the other way. Okay? Write that down. And then do it. Start taking your steps about the dragon. Okay? Or more than one. And number two, write down hedges in your life. You want to protect the good things. Write down those hedges, guidelines, godly things, and safeguards you're going to abide by in your life, for you, in your life, to stay strong and stay prospering in God. Okay? Last things, in Philippians, Paul says, "But this I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to what lies ahead for the upward call." And the other thing in Joshua, if you look at the book of Joshua, the first chapter, check it out. They're about to enter the promised land, and God says to him, "Be strong and of good courage. And wherever you go, where the soles of your feet go, you will have that land. I will give it to you. But if you don't go, you're not going to get it. But go, take the land, press on, fight the good fight, be strong and of good courage, and you're guaranteed to win." After the application, turn over to side two for Heaven's Secret Agent, your mission from God and God's will for your life. This is the New Life Tape Album, or the New Life Pack, and this is Jonathan Kahn. And now we're up to the 10th sharing, which is called Heaven's Secret Agent, or Your Mission from God. And we're going to get into God's will for your life, how to know it. Now, a few notes before we begin. Still to come is the happiness secrets, the secrets of an abundant and joyful life, and also everything else. That'll be on the next cassette, which is the last one. Make sure to get it. Now, a few notes from the last one, bridging the last one into this one, Dragon Slaying. We have some tapes, other things, if you need more, called Overcoming Habitual Sin, Overcoming Sexual Sin, another one called The Way to Freedom, which is different from The Ways of Freedom. Now, open up to Jeremiah 29:11. I have to go real quick here, too. There's so much. Jeremiah, which is after Isaiah, it says this, verse 11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Now, the context was he's speaking to the Israelites several centuries before Messiah, but it certainly can be applied to all of God's children. "I know the plans I have for you." It means God does have a plan for your life. It was there when you were in your mother's womb, and it's a good plan, and it's a plan for not for harm or calamity, but for joy, and the word is shalom in Hebrew for wholeness and happiness and wellness and all his best. But you can never find that when you go your own way, and makes sense. You can only find it by finding it in your Creator, the one who made you. And so only by being born again do you begin to walk into it. The more one is into sin, not only is sin bad because it's sin, but also because it keeps you from finding your course, your purpose, your will. You know, so the more one spends in sin, the more one's energy is drained, one's life is drained, and you're taken away from the path you're supposed to go in. And so all the more reason to get rid of the old and continually put it away so you can focus and walk into God's will for your life. Now, the nature of life is to grow. It's first to receive and then to grow. When you're a kid, you're receiving more than you give. When you're a parent, you give more than you receive. So the sign of an adult is that you are giving more than you receive. And so same in the Lord. First, you have to receive. And by the way, you're always receiving from God because we're always to be his children. But on earth, we are to begin to grow up. And in his kingdom, we are to begin to grow up. That means we are giving more on this earth than we receive. But we can only, than we receive from people on this earth. We receive from God, but then we give to this world. And so the first, when you're coming, your first thing is to grow. Your first job is to grow and receive, soak up everything you can. All good comes from God. Then though, give back. Whenever you give back, that's ministry. Even when you're thanking God, you're praising him because he blessed you. That's ministry because you're flowing out. You're giving back to God. And all ministry is really to God first, and then it's through all sorts of people. When you receive his love and you love another person because of it, that's ministry. This idea many of us have that, well, ministry is, you know, you got to be there's clergy and then there's laity. There's the whole congregation. And that's unbiblical. The idea that a few people do the ministry of the Lord while everybody else kind of just comes in and gets something, that's not it at all. The biblical way is in a body, believers, a congregation, which is called a body or the body of the Lord. We are all to be ministers. Everyone is to be a minister. And the point of those who are leading are to lead the ministers, a congregation of ministers, to equip them. We're here to equip you to find your ministry and to grow in it. Now, some people never grow up because they have an attitude of, how can I be blessed? How can this congregation bless me? Or how can I be ministered to? You know, and you'll never grow up that way. Get that out of your heart, your head, anything. Don't let it grow. Don't be around people who do that. The attitude of growing is, how can I bless others? How can I minister to others here in my congregation? Some believers enter an eternal immaturity. They go from congregation to congregation saying, how can I be blessed here? I'm not getting fed enough here. They're not blessing me enough here. I'm not being loved enough here. You'll never grow. You'll never be happy. You'll never get it. Remember, God ministers to you. You expect from God. Remember that from dealing with people. God is where you get your thing from. Then you give to the world. So get into a good heart and a heart of serving. Okay, get rid of that old attitude. Get into a heart of humble to serving. I'm here to bless. Okay, those who are taught, they're ultimately, you know, we're ultimately to give from that. You can't just be taught and not give. When you're blessed, you have to give the blessing. So start now at it. You know, your main thing is to receive and grow. And, you know, you first to grow. If you try to do, you know, you try to take on things that you're not ready for, that's not good. But grow and flow. In order to grow, you have to flow. In other words, to flow, you have to receive and give. It's all part of it. If you receive and stop giving, ultimately you'll stop receiving. It's like a pipe. If you clog it up at either end, it's going to stop at the other. If you stop receiving, you're going to stop giving in the Lord. If you stop receiving from God. So sometimes people try to minister to God. They get into all their own strength. They forget about that it's got to be God's strength, and they burn out. You don't want to do that. You don't want to burn out. You have to receive continually, get plugged in, and give out. At the same time, if you stop giving, you know, that other side of the pipe gets plugged up, then you'll stop receiving. You know, it's like eating food. You know, you have to, if you eat food, you got to move on it. You know, you have to, you know, if you just sit around all day on a couch and you eat and eat and eat, you'll just get fat. Same with the Lord. If you just sit and you can get the best teaching in the world. If you just sit around and never act on it, never give on it, then you'll eventually become spiritually fat. You won't be that hungry anymore. You won't enjoy the word as much anymore. And you'll just have a conviction over your life, a weight over your life that I should be living this way, but I'm not. Get into the word, get into the practice of applying it. Whenever you hear a sermon, a message, whatever, always for your own sake, you'll be a step ahead of everything. When you say, I have to take at least one thing out of this message that I'm going to apply in a real way to make a real difference in my life. It doesn't matter, you know, how, whatever the message is, it might be hard sometimes, but you find it, okay? You're born for that purpose, to serve God, and you'll find it in that. Now, in Matthew 9, if you check it out, in Matthew 9, it says at the end of the chapter, and you can find it yourself, at the end of the chapter, it says that Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the harvest is talking about the Great Commission, the work of God in this world, the spreading of the word, the bringing into the kingdom, the saving of lives, the healing of people, the giving to the poor, the blessing, you know, all that. It says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So don't ever say to yourself that there's no ministry. You know, I want to get into ministry, but I can't get into ministry because, no, there's always ways to serve. You serve God where you're at. Start blessing. And there are always needs, whether you can get the position you want, forget about position, just serve God. There's always ways of doing it. We've already talked about that before. Wherever you are, to start serving God there, start blessing. And there's great joy in serving God. It's the highest honor in the world. It's a higher honor than being the president. It's much higher than that. It's the highest anointing. And when you're walking in God's will, it's like you're walking in the authority of the King of the universe. You're in the center of God's will for your life. There's peace, there's authority, and it's just wonderful. When you get into a servant's heart, cultivate a heart that is humble and don't do things to get a thank you. You know, I did this and I served and no one thanked me and they recognized the other person. Forget that stuff. Do it to make God smile and you'll be blessed. Do it for God. Bless people, love people, but do it for His smile. Okay? And get into doing things where nobody sees it. Get into the joy of secret great things for God. Okay? Here's your first application. You need to get involved in your congregation. Help out.
help out. Get into a good habit. Don't start falling into a bad habit of just complacency. You got to start out here. Is go to your congregation. Go to people there. Don't wait for them to take the initiative. Go to the pastor, well, or whoever, you know, whoever is appointed there. There are people there in ministry. Go and say, listen, I want to help out. How can I help out in some way? And you're not asking to teach. You're not asking to, I mean, come on. You know, you just came to the Lord. So, you know, you don't want to do that. But at this point, but here you want to just get your feet wet and help out and say, well, you know, I don't know if we have a position. Say, no, I'll take out the garbage. I'll clean the bathroom. And yeah. You know what? Taking out the garbage and cleaning the bathroom is as holy as preaching. Get into that. It says the one who's faithful in little will be faithful in much. God will give more. And do it for God, and it will become a holy experience, whatever you do, and get into the joy of serving and humility. As time goes on, you'll serve more, and you'll grow as a child, you know, grows, and then there'll be more things. Okay, watch others. You know, you see good examples? You know, learn from them. Okay, now, the importance of the body. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to look at that for yourself. Chapter 12, where it speaks about the congregation of God as the body of Messiah. And what it says is that we're all part of a body. A body has many different parts. It's not just an eye, or else how could you hear? You know, from chapter 12 to about to the end of the chapter. Read it for yourself. And actually, pause the tape and read it, and I'll get into it. Okay? All right. The flat, you know, when you do something, is it bearing fruit? Sometimes the fruit takes a lot of time to grow, but is it fruitful? You know, here's, you know, do you have other things in your life? What are your other endowments? Maybe you're a businessman and you can help by, you know, opening up some part of your business for God, you know, or, you know, in the fact that the one person makes money, they can be used by giving to the Great Commission. You know, that won't be all that they do, but sometimes God has people doing that. So what other things, resources do you have in your life? Okay. Now, keep in mind, the ministry you're called to will always have things that you don't enjoy or you wouldn't choose or wouldn't, you know, because you have to be stretched. That's part of growing. We're not going to grow without being stretched. You have to have the attitude of hineni. That's a Hebrew word that Isaiah said and others said when they said, whom shall we send? God said. And Isaiah said, hineni, which means here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm ready. Use me. Move me on. Okay. You need that attitude. You want to really find God? You got to say, hey, here, whatever it is, I'm going. I'm serving you. Okay. Don't say, well, I'm just not adequate. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too weak. I'm too this. I can't, you know, listen, Moses said that he couldn't speak. Jeremiah said he was too young, you know, in effect. And all these things, these are excuses. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not based on your power. It's God's power. All are called. And let me tell you something. When you were a kid and, you know, they bought you clothes, if they were wise, they bought them a little big because you grow into them. You grow out of them. So with your calling, you know, the calling doesn't fit you. It's not supposed to. It's oversized. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than your abilities. It's bigger than, so you might, you know, so you say, oh, I can't, of course, it's got to be bigger so that you will grow to it. You'll rise to your ministry. You don't fall to it. You rise to it. And so his will for your life is always going to involve going against fears. Otherwise, you're not going to grow. Overcoming the old in your life and moving on. So that's good, you know, that you overcome. Now, some of you may be called to a full-time ministry where that is your salary and that's your thing and that's all you do. And that's great, but you know, and that's wonderful. But all of you are called to full-time ministry. Even no matter what your job is, you're to be ministering and being a blessing and a light on your job. You know, wherever you show God's love, you're ministering. So here's another secret. Get your feet wet. Get your feet wet. You know, some things don't happen until, you know, it's like going to the supermarket door. It doesn't open until you step on the thing. You can stare at the door all you like, but only when you walk. Get your feet wet. Get going and serving him. It says, be faithful in little, and he'll give you much. Again, even if it's cleaning the bathroom toilets, that is a holy thing. And remember, in the kingdom of God, he said, the one who'd be greatest is going to be the servant of all. The one who's washing everybody's feet is the greatest in the kingdom. And remember something else. It says in a scripture in the letters, the epistles, it says, we're his fellow workers, meaning that never do something out of your own strength or your burnout. Never, oh, I got to do this. It's always, hey, God, you give me the strength to do it. It's you do it. You do it through me. We are fellow workers with him. It's one. So learn to get into flow with ministry. Even when it's a hard thing and there may be sweat involved, of course there will be. And sometimes it's real, real tough. But that's for the flesh. But in the spirit, flow from God. The greatest high and greatest joy is being in his will and spirit. Okay. Now, how do you know God's will in your life? And I'm speaking about any different issue, all different issues, okay? All right, first off, doesn't matter, you know, where you're at in life, whatever you're doing now, doesn't matter. What do you do now? Where do you go from here? How do you know God's will in your life? Well, I told you, grow, and I mean, I've given you a lot to, you know, to help guide you as you grow in the Lord. But God does have a will for your life. How do you know it? Well, first pray again. Pray. Number two, submit to God. So you lift the thing up to God and say, Lord, whatever it is, if it's yes or if it's no, you got to be surrendered to God, okay? Unless he's already told you. I mean, if he told you, then it's, you know, you can be, you know, holding out on him too. But is it, you know, you got to, whatever the issue is, if when you first lift it to God, it's got to be an honest thing. Lord, if you say yes or if you say no, if you take it from me or give it to me, I'm going to serve you. You got to be that. Number three, be honest to God. Accept his word regardless, even if it's not something you wanted. You know, how he leads you, you got to go with it above your own thing. You know, even Messiah said, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? And you'll be blessed. And be led where you don't know. You know, God is going to lead you to where you don't know and what you're not used to. There's a proverb in the book of Proverbs that says, don't be like the mule or the horse, you know, which need a bridle nor need to be pulled. And let me tell you, that's a real good secret, the mule and the horse thing. And that is this. A mule is holding back. You know, you have to kind of pull it, you know, so God is pulling and you're not going. I'm not going to go. I don't know if it's you know, you're just sitting there. God's trying to pull you and you're just resisting. A horse, often without being bridled, will just run ahead, you know, run ahead without, you have to kind of pull back. And so it's saying that don't be either, don't, you know, just jump ahead on your own thing and not knowing if it's God, you know, and just jump ahead and run and then you got to get pulled back. Or don't be like the mule. If God's calling you, don't be like Jonah. Don't run away. Don't pull back. Okay. So, you know, here are some key things, more key things here. Is it biblical? Is it biblical? Okay, what does the Bible say? If the Bible says something clearly about a subject, you don't have to be praying about it. It says that, you know, for instance, you know, should I have this affair with this person? You know, I'm married. I don't care what I feel, it's God's will. Forget your feelings. Feelings can mean most of the time very little. You know, people mold God's word and they twist scripture. It's very easy to rationalize things away. And, you know, well, God led me. He gave me a sign so we'd move in together. No, I don't care if you have 100 angels swearing on a stack of Bibles. If God's word says no, that's period. That's it. I don't care if 100 Christians give you prophecies and words from God that this is God's will. If it goes against his word and forget it. And there are many people who will twist God's word. Even there will be ministers who can do that and rationalize things and sins. Forget it. Okay, that's number one. Next, does the Bible give principles if it's as to what it's right? Say it doesn't specifically talk about one thing or another. Again, like I said, movies or different things in your life. You know, whatever it is. Principles, as there are principles in the Bible, it says whatever is pure. What is this pure? Is this in line with God's word and the principles set forth in God's word? Here's another one. Is it love? That's part of the principle. God's love. Is it righteousness? Is it love? You know, as check out with cool and uncool, those things that I've already mentioned. Would Jesus do it? Would he do it? What would he think on the day of judgment? What would I do? You know, will it bring me closer to God? Is it going to bring me closer to God? Is it bringing me closer to God, or is it not? Is it bringing me farther from God? Is it bringing me to him, or is it a substitute? Here's another thing. It's good to get wise counsel. A big decision, you know, get counsel. Those who have, you know, who are in God and wise, you know, it's good to get counsel. Some people may not give what, but get a number of counsel. And, you know, here's another thing. And again, if God is clearly leading you, and if the Bible clearly says something, or God is, you know, you go with that. Would it advance the Great Commission? Because that's his will. You know, would more people be blessed? Hear the gospel. The hungry be fed. Would the in some way? I mean, not everything relates directly to that, but many things do. Would I be used more? Would it lead me more in the Great Commission? Should I share God's? You know, should I share God's love? Is the question. Of course, you should share God's love. That's not even a question. You know, how you do it. That, you know, be led. So, you know, how about like whether should I live on this side of the street or should I get the other house or this house or what job or whatever? Well, you know, make sure if some way it lines up with any things I said before, then let that be your guide. But some things are not so much, you know, do I live on this street or that street? Pray to God, you know, and keep it clear, you know, be open to him, pray for leading, you know, and there's other things, you know, do you have a peace of heart about it? Now that doesn't mean that sometimes there are fears again that you have to overcome. And that means it is God's will. Not always will your feelings are not always going to be right, but you do have the spirit. It was kind of like a gyroscope. Sometimes it'll be that you just don't have any peace about something, or you do have some peace, but you got to discern what's, some things might be the old nature that doesn't have peace about something, but you'll, as you go on, you know, are there confirmations about it? Will God will confirm, you know, will the door open here? I believe I'm supposed to go through this door. Well, is it going to open? Sometimes you have to knock real hard, you know, it doesn't mean you know, but is it ultimately going to open? God will even maybe at times he gives signs and wonders and to confirm his his will. You know, but everything else has got to be in place. It's got to be biblical, got to be, you know, love. It's got to be all those things. Now, be careful you don't project God's will, because it's easy to believe what you want to believe. And also, there's sometimes things happen. You can't explain it why, you know. But the thing is that, I mean, there have been in the ministry, example, women who've come up to me and said that they believed God wanted, you know, told them to marry, you know, that I was supposed to marry them. Well, how do I know that that's not biblical? Well, I can't marry, you know, 30 people, you know. So I know it's not biblical. But the point is that just be careful. And, you know, it's go by the Bible first, you know, and serve him. And here's another thing which goes with this. Main thing about finding God's will is obey God's will. You know, we're saying, oh, you know, I want to know God's will, what God's will. Well, listen, the Bible is filled with God's will. We already have God's will. And so the Bible is not so much about finding the specific will. It's about obeying God's revealed will. Do the will that he's already revealed, and he will lead you into his will that he has not yet revealed in your life. Walk in what you know, obey God's will. The more you walk in God's will, it means obeying him and doing what he said, the more you will walk into the perfect will for your life. It just makes sense, okay? And be concerned more about serving him and blessing him, and rather than your own, you know, I want this in my life, I want this in my life, I want this in my life. You know, don't serve him and seek his will. And you know what? You'll be wonderful and you'll be joyous and he'll take care of you. Take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. It's love. What is God's will for your life? Well, he's given it in the Great Commission for all his people. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the good news. Share his word. That's the Great Commission. Share his love to all around you. Share. You don't have to be an expert. You say, well, I'm not. I don't know how to do it. You don't even have to know much. You know, what does a witness do on the witness stand? The witness just shares what the witness has witnessed. That's all. Just bear witness of what he's done for you. What's happened in your life? Or what do you know? What do you know from the Bible? Just share. Ask yourself, what does that person need? What do they need to hear? Sometimes you're just planting seeds. You can't, you know, everybody's at a different spot, you know. Sometimes you just tell them that God loves them, or sometimes you just you can invite them to a service, or you can give them a Bible, or give them something, you know. With your family, you can't hit them over the head. Love them, you know, and then at the right time, share, you know, it's love in deed and word. And you need action of love, too. You can't just hit them over the head with the word, then share with them. You're with them all the time, so mostly they're going to be looking at your life, the people you're with all the time, you know. It's different from someone you meet on the street. It says, be fishers of men. What does a fisherman do? Draws in. You know, so sometimes you have to be, you draw in, draw them, invite them. It should be something that's pulling. They have to say, I want what you want. You know, don't push them away. Draw them in. Sometimes you pull on the thing when you fish, and then sometimes you have to kind of let go and give slack. Sometimes, okay, let go. Now, okay, let them bite again and then pull forward, you know. Don't lead a double life. Be as loving at home as you are. Be more so. When you talk to them, when you share God's love, you know, because you should want them to be saved. You want to spend eternity with them, you know. Have a burden. That's love. Pray. Even as you talk to them, pray for the right words. Okay? Don't win the argument and lose the person. Remember, you're not trying to win an argument. You're trying to win the person. Serve them. Be their blessed. Put yourself in their place. That's, remember I said about love? Ask, if I were them, really, feel for their life. What would I need to hear to break into this life? To get have the light shine into this life? What would I need? Put yourself in their place and say, what would I need? Feel for them. It says, be a Jew to the Jew, a Greek to the Greek. That means that you don't compromise the word. What it means is, you really can speak their language. Speak in their terms. Speak in their thing. Get God's love. In your life, there are a lot of bridges you've got, relationships that are already there in your life. Those are natural bridges for you to cross over to bring God's love in their life. Think of the honor. You are an ambassador of heaven. Think about that. An ambassador representing the kingdom of heaven. You are even more than that, heaven's secret agent. You see, they don't realize it. You know, the word angel in Greek, angelos, and in Hebrew, malach, you know, it also means messenger. And it's used not only for, you know, heavenly creatures, or as such as we know, it's used of people who are also, you're a heavenly creature because you're born again. You're from heaven in that sense, the new self, the life is. Those who bear the message of God. You see, the word evangelism, if you circle the middle of it, you'll have angel. There's a reason for that. That's connected. You are, when you bear God's love and his message, when you're born again, you're an agent from heaven with a mission, an agent of God's love to your situation. What does this mean? You are no longer from your past. You're no longer from your circumstance or your situation. You are to it. You're a mission, a person to it. You're like an angel on earth. You're there to minister to them. You're to go and bring blessing to your life. You're not to expect out of life. You're to give to life. You're an ambassador of heaven. You're like an earth angel. How does someone... one sent from heaven act on earth. You complain about your situation. You're going to be jealous. You're going to expect them to give you thank yous. No, you get from God. You're on a mission from God on this planet. It's wonderful. Remember the Zacchaeus principle. He went back and he blessed the people in his life. You're a messenger bringing God's love. Now, here's the Jerusalem principle. It says, you know, it starts, he said, go starting in the Great Commission. Start in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, then all the nations. Start where you are. Minister first where you are, to your home, to your life, and then you go out to the world. Okay, real important. Here is your first angelic assignment. Actually, you've been doing some before, but you got to get this thing going. All right, before we go on to the very last thing, do this first. And here it is two things. And you can write this down, but make a note of this. Two things. One, share God's love and word with someone you know in your life. Number two, and it could be just your testimony, what God did for you. Share God's love and word with someone you don't know. Maybe you could put it, you can do it any way you like. You may put a scripture in an envelope or a tape, cassette in there, and give them, say, here, a gift for you, someone on the street, whatever, okay? And do it. You got to get it. This thing going in your life. You have an incredible mission on earth. It's exciting and it's going to involve overcoming fear. I know that, but that's how you're going to grow and find the will for your life. So get going. Don't come back till you do it. Get going, you little angel, you, and I'll see you in a moment. Okay, the last two assignments are going to be real important and yet very quick for me to explain here. The first one, look up and read Matthew 25, verse 31 to the end. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. The assignment is this. Pray to God, Lord, give me a mission that I might fulfill this thing, what I just learned here. Okay? It may be doing volunteer work. It may be whatever. But do that before you go on. And the last one is to pray with God and resolve with him to say, Hineni, Lord, lead me, and wherever you lead me in my life, I want your will, I will follow, and take steps to be walking in his will actively. Okay, last thing, read the very end of Matthew 28 from verse 18 on. Read it for yourself, and I'm just going to say this. He said, you are now the light of the world. So listen, my friend, rise to the calling, fulfill your mission, and shine your light. God bless you.